kiss them. We'll come up with non-Chilton names for each other. When we're not in school, I'll call you Rebecca.
Rebecca.
And you'll call me?
Norman.
Norman?
Well?
I look like a Norman to you.
I'm sorry. Psycho was on earlier, and it was just the first name that came to mind. I'll think of something else. How about Alfred?
Welcome to the Ultimate Gilmore Girls Movie Night Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Courtney.
And today we're talking about a movie called Psycho. So before we get into that, how are you doing?
Good. I just finished a book.
Yeah?
Like minutes ago.
You did? How was it?
So good.
What was this one called?
What Lies in the Woods.
What Lies in the Woods.
It's the one I got from Book of the Month Club. It's so good.
Awesome. What kind of a book is it?
Oh, it's like a thriller mystery type thing. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Well, that's good.
I like got to the point in the last like 30 minutes where like you couldn't stop reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get to that point with the thriller where it's just like, if I don't finish this tonight, I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about it.
Yeah. Did it have a lot of twists and turns?
It did, but it like kept you guessing. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at guessing the ending. I feel like I read over 100 books last year. I feel like I've read enough. It's hard to surprise me, but I feel like in some situations I knew exactly what twist was coming, and then in other situations I was like, whoa, I had no idea that was there.
Really sounds interesting.
It was very good. And now I'm starting Rachel Deloach Williams, My Friend Anna, because I watched the Anna Delvey Netflix show, and now I want to read about it.
Well, that's exciting. I have nothing new to report.
Still reading the same book.
Still reading the same book. I don't read near as often as you do.
Your book's also huge.
Which, yeah, but I still haven't read as much as you have. Which there was at one point I felt like where I was reading a lot more than you were. So this is
This change is how I read when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But then we had babies. No, then I went to nursing school. Then we had babies. And I didn't read any of that time. Last year was the first year that I kind of like got back to my normal.
That makes sense.
Which has been nice. But I've enjoyed it.
Other than that, the Super Bowl has been set. So it's Philadelphia, who we are all rooting against because we hate the Eagles. And they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. So as a Cowboys fan, I hope the Eagles get demolished.
And as someone whose cat, who sadly passed this year, being from Philadelphia, would be so happy if the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I am hoping they win.
I don't think cats care about football.
Charlie cared.
I don't think he did.
Charlie cared.
You can't.
Listen, I've got a good track record. Let me tell you about it.
Okay.
The Phillies won the World Series the year that I lived in Philadelphia, like in the city, the first time I lived in the city. And then I moved to New Orleans. And guess who won the Super Bowl when I lived in New Orleans?
Probably the Saints.
Yeah. So I've got a good track
record. You moved to New Orleans right after Katrina?
No.
Or shortly after?
No. Do you know when Katrina happened? It was like
the Saints won the Super Bowl the year Katrina happened.
No, they
didn't. They?
If they did, it was a different win. The win I'm talking about is in 2010. 2009? 2010. Because I moved there at the end of 2009.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. It was a few years. Okay. You're right.
Katrina was in 2005.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what I was thinking. I just remember it being a huge deal because they won after Katrina. So I thought it was like shortly after, but
no, but Katrina was still very real to the people in New Orleans.
Yeah.
To the point where anytime you asked about something, if it didn't exist anymore, they'd say, oh yeah, that washed away with the storm. Like the highway.
But you didn't move anywhere this year. You moved to Philadelphia or you lived in Philadelphia.
No, I'm just saying I have a good track record.
But that doesn't go to this year.
You know, I tried really hard with the Thunder, but they disappointed me because as soon as I moved to Oklahoma City, the Thunder got into the playoffs.
No. They got into the finals.
Whatever it's called.
I mean, not just the playoffs. That was the year they made the finals.
We tried real hard. I tried to bring all of my luck. But let's be honest. Oklahoma's a little bit slow. So maybe it's taking...
I did not come here for Oklahoma hate.
I'm just saying.
I'm surprised Philadelphia still exists after winning the Super Bowl 6 years ago.
I am as well.
or whenever they last won.
Listen, I had to drive out of downtown Philadelphia, right where the stadium was, the morning after they won the World Series, and it was not great. I walked past several upside down cars to get to my car. It was sure. rough. So well, I hope they win the Super Bowl, and I hope the city doesn't burn down.
I hope Kansas City wins, and Philadelphia never makes it again. Oh, I hate the Eagles so much.
So who
the Eagles? Looking at the Eagles brings fire in me.
I know.
I despise them.
So it's Kansas City and the Eagles
Kansas
for
City
sure.
And the Eagles, yeah. So they'll be playing in the Super Bowl.
I'll be rooting for the Eagles. I wish I had more than one Eagles sweatshirt. I need to get more.
I'm glad you don't have more than one.
I do have that blanket that my mom made with the Eagles fleece fabric. I'm going to have to use that when we watch the Super Bowl.
I'm sure. But let's go ahead and start talking about Psycho.
Oh, right. That's why we're here.
Yes. As opposed to the psychotic Eagles fans.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. What is your history with Psycho?
I've seen it. I remember my mom telling me that it was like the scariest movie she'd ever seen. And I watched it and I was like, it just didn't scare me.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the first time I watched it was for my blog.
Okay. I watched it for the first time. I think it was in sixth grade, sixth or seventh. I think it was sixth. For a youth group, we had scary movie night. And the youth group's from sixth through 12th grade. And I remember we watched this. We watched The Fly. The original The Fly. And I think we watched The Birds that night. And I don't even know if before that I'd really ever seen a scary movie. Because like my family wasn't really scary movie watchers. So actually that might have been the first time I ever watched scary movies. And Psycho terrified me. I had to sleep on the floor of my parents' room for like a week. I could not take a shower with the shower curtain closed. I had to keep it open. And for probably like a month or two. And I remember it terrified me.
Yeah, it didn't scare
me. So I definitely agree with your mom on that. The less you see, the scarier it is, in my opinion. And your opinion is different. If you don't see it, it's not scary. So having to imagine it is scarier for me.
Yeah, I just can't get on board with that. I feel like, though, that makes me sound like a really unimaginative person, like that my imagination doesn't. But, like, I think it's more that I'm very easily scared, and so I will not allow my imagination to, like, see more than what I'm willing to see. But the stuff that's out, the horror movies that are out today, freaking Megan, when I see clips from that, as much as it looks really interesting and I really want to see it, when I see clips from it, I'm like, nope, nope. Like, the image stays in my head. But there are no images in Psycho that really stay in my head.
Yeah, but to me, Megan's less scary because it's something that I don't think could actually happen.
Really?
100%.
I think there's a better chance of you being murdered by a dude who lives with his mom's skeleton in a hotel than an AI being?
100%.
We have an Alexa in our room.
I mean, the whole hotel thing takes, there are a lot of steps that have to happen, but I have a much better chance of being murdered by a human than an AI, some type of a machine.
I don't know. I think given the lifestyle that you and I have, our probability of being killed by a human is unlikely. But the more like AI and robots become more accessible, the greater chance there is of something like that happening.
Which is still zero.
Listen,
I 100% don't think that could
ever happen. This is coming from a girl whose grandfather used to have robots in his house that he let just walk around on the second floor of the house. And it was really, really freaking scary to be in that creepy house and just hear robots walking around upstairs.
Honestly, I have a better chance of either being killed by an Eagles fan because they don't like what I'm saying about their Eagles, or a Jess truther because I hate Jess.
Okay, listen.
So those are the people.
There are a lot of, like, listen, I know I joke and I don't actually care what happens in football, but there are a lot of Eagles fans that you genuinely like.
I know.
Through their connection to me.
Oh, and other connections.
Like, Drew was at the game and you and Drew are like weird best friends when you get together.
He's my buddy. But I still hate the Eagles. But he also hates the Cowboys. So.
I know. I like how you guys have this like mutual, like, it's cool. We're friends, but I hate your team and I'm never going to change my mind.
I mean, it's the same way I'm with all my OU friends.
That's true. That's true.
I have a lot of friends who love OU and we talk trash and I always root against OU. They always root against OSU.
The thing I love about Eagles fans though is that they know they're trash.
That's true. Like,
they know how the rest of the world views Eagles fans.
That's true.
The thing with OU is that I feel like they're super cocky. And in my defense, I have no, like, I came into Oklahoma thinking that OSU was, like, the only school that you could like. So I don't have a great view of OU because my introduction to OU was you.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're super cocky. And I feel like they always think they're better than OSU.
Oh, they do.
Well, Eagles fans don't think they're better than anybody.
Yeah, I guess so.
They really don't. They're excited when they get far, but like...
No, even if you think you're quote-unquote trash, you can still think you're better than other people. They still think they're better than everybody else.
No, they don't.
Oh.
No, they don't. Okay. They know. Eagles fans know. They're in on the joke. They get it. They know. They know that they have a jail under their stadium. Like, they know. They know that they threw snowballs at Santa. They know. Mm-hmm. They know who they are.
But they will try to say that the Santa was just some drunk guy, but that has been proven to be a myth.
I don't know anything about the story.
I did a lot of research because, not really. I listened to podcasts about it.
How come the Eagles don't have, well, I guess they do. Never mind. I take it back. I was going to say they don't have a mascot. Like the Fanatic, but they do have that guy in the big Eagles costume, so I guess they do. It's just not nearly as exciting as the Philly Fanatic.
Yeah, and the Eagles is the only logo, especially like Animals logo, or the only logo that faces to the left in the NFL.
Because they know.
Because the Eagles face the left, and everybody else faces the right.
One of my mom's friends used to volunteer. She was a nurse, and she used to volunteer as like a nurse at the stadium during game days. And she saw a lot.
I'm sure she did.
She had some really good stories.
Sure she did. All right, so where...
How did we get back to...
Oh, I talked about who would kill me, and one of them was Eagles fans.
I don't even like football.
Where has this movie been referenced in Gilmore Girls?
So the one you heard at the beginning from season 1, episode 11, when Rory calls Max Norman, or says she wants to call him Norman, and she says, I'm sorry, Psycho was on earlier, and it was just the first name that came to mind, and then she offers to call him Alfred, which I thought was cute, too. In season 3, episode 5, there's a neighbor that just moves to Stars Hollow, and they want the girls to go, like, water his plants or whatever. And then Lorelai says, Key, please, let me just say, if we walk in there and his dead mother is sitting in a rocking chair, not a bit surprised. And then in season 6, episode 17, Luke says, you were screaming? And Lorelai says, yes, like Janet Leigh in Psycho. That's it. There's only 3 Psycho references. I feel like there should be more because there's so... I feel like that one gets referenced a lot just in life.
To an extent. Psycho doesn't have many lines that can be referenced. Like, it's one thing about Norman Bates being a psycho or maybe watching the movie, where I think a lot of other movies have different bits from each movie that can be referenced.
Yeah.
But Psycho really only has one thing that will be referenced in different shows. So let's go ahead and get started. We start off with a tryst in a Phoenix hotel between Marion Crane, which brings us to the most popular segment in podcast history. 5 degrees, 5 degrees or less of Gene Kelly. This is 1 degree. Janet Leigh.
Just 1 degree?
1 degree. Wow. Janet Leigh plays Marion Crane. She is in Words and Music with Gene Kelly. Now,
Words and Music.
It's a movie about, who is it about? Rogers and Hart, maybe? Let me see. 1948 film about... Richard Rogers and Larry Hart. So it's about Rogers and Hart, which were a famous, well-known, like composing team, and they did lots of musicals. And actually, in the movie, Marion Crane plays one of the wives of either Hart or Rogers, and Richard Rogers is the same Rogers who was a part of Rogers and Hammerstein.
Oh, okay.
So Rogers and Hammerstein were a duo. I want to say before Rogers and Hart, or maybe after, I don't remember. But anyways, but it's the same Rogers. He was in 2 duos that were well-known in composing.
Hmm.
And he and Marion Crane plays a wife of one of them. And Gene Kelly is only in one little bit.
Did you say Marion Crane?
I meant Janet Leigh. Okay. They're the same people. And Gene Kelly is actually only in one part of it. He's in a song called Slaughter on 10th Avenue, which was written by Rodgers and Hart. And he's literally just in that song. So he and Janet Leigh don't actually share. I think he dances with Vera Ellen, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting.
Who Vera Ellen is in On the Town and is in White Christmas. But he and Janet Leigh don't actually share a scene. So Marion Crane and her boyfriend Sam Loomis discuss their inability to get married because of Sam's debts. Marion returns to work, takes a cash payment of $40,000 entrusted to her for a deposit, and sets off to drive to Sam's home in Fairvale, California.
Okay, but listen. No, she shouldn't have stolen the money. However, that pig of a man who was giving the money deserved to have at least some of his money stolen.
He was pretty awful. He was. Marion hurriedly trades her car en route, arousing suspicion from both the car dealer and a California Highway Patrol officer. And one thing I do want to mention during all of this, in that at the very, very beginning, Marion Crane is wearing a white bra. And then when she decides to steal the money, after she steals the money, she's wearing a black bra. And that was actually to show that she was angelic beforehand and did something evil afterhand with the white and the black. That's the reasoning behind that.
I mean, evil?
Well, not evil, but...
In a movie where there's someone killing
her. All right, not evil. She did something that she should not have done.
She did a bad thing.
She did a bad thing. Marion stops for the night at the Bates Motel, located off the main highway, and hides the stolen money inside a newspaper. Norman Bates descends from a large house overlooking the motel, registers Marion under an assumed name, and invites her to dine with him.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, I know.
After Norman returns to his house, Marion overhears Norman arguing with his mother about Marion's presence. Norman then returns with the light meal and apologizes for his mother's outbursts. Now, so whenever you originally watched this,
you
probably already knew the twist at the end. Did you know anything
Actually,
about
I don't
it?
Think
did
I
you?
Did.
You didn't?
I don't think so.
So did it come as a shock at the end? Or, I mean, at one point, I feel like there is kind of a tell kind of near the end before you actually find out. But at this point, did you think, oh, there's actually a mom that's there?
I think I did. I don't know.
I mean, sixth grade me was completely shocked at the end.
Well, I'm sure. But I think I was like 26.
I'm interested to know what I would have thought as adult me.
I don't know. I don't remember. It was so long ago. Listen, one kid kills about half the brain cells, and then the second kid kills, you know, half of what's left. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. My brain doesn't work right.
Okay.
I'm just, you know. I'm just barely surviving. I've got the brain cells left that like teach me how to breathe and eat.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you said
that. That's all I got. That's it. Remember something from 10 years ago? No.
While eating, Norman discusses his hobby as a taxidermist, his mother's illness, and how people have a private trap they want to escape.
Listen, I don't want to be judgmental, but that's a really, really weird hobby to have.
There's a taxidermist that lives close to us?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not close to us, but off of the highway.
But yeah.
Because there's a sign that says taxidermy. And I have so many questions for people who do that.
Okay, but like, is that the same as like stuffing a deer head for your wall? Like, is that taxidermy?
So. I think so.
Okay. I can see there being a need for that in Oklahoma. Not a need. I can see that there being, what is it? Yes, interest in it. What is it called? Supply and demand. I can see there being a demand. For that, see, there, I got a quarter of the brain cells that I had when I was.
Now you're done. That's all you got tonight.
Yeah, no, there is a demand for that. I could see that in Oklahoma for deer and things you've hunted. I don't understand it for other stuff. It doesn't make sense to me. It's super gross. Why? I can't. I just can't.
No idea.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's like the janitor in Scrubs and him building his like squirrel army. Like taxidermy squirrels.
And really this movie just has a bird type theme to it, because her last name's Crane. There are all those birds in the room.
Was this before or after the birds?
I believe it was before.
Was he like foreshadowing his next big movie?
I have no idea. The birds. Yeah, birds was 63. This was 61, I believe.
So likely that was already on his mind.
Yeah, this was 60.
That's weird.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a bird theme.
Poor birds. They don't try to be creepy. But Alfred Hitchcock is doing everything in his power to make people be afraid of him.
The birds. Are we going to be talking about that one?
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
That one has one of the best endings to any
movie. I've actually never seen that one.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, I haven't seen one.
Especially the very ending. It has a really good ending because it has kind of a spooky, like, oh, what's going to happen now?
My mom liked that one too. My mom liked all Alfred Hitchcock movies. Yeah. But I feel like that was one she really liked.
So Marion then decides to drive back to Phoenix in the morning and return the stolen money. And that's what she does. And the movie ends.
No.
Oh, no. So Marion goes back and decides to throw the note. She wrote down the money. She wrote down figures and so forth. And she decided to throw that in the toilet to throw away.
What?
Doesn't she write the figures? I don't know. She writes down like how much she stole or whatever on a piece of paper, tears it up, and throws it in the toilet.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And I bring that up because...
Or I do remember seeing paper being thrown in the toilet, but I didn't really know what it was.
Because that's because...
Philip will go over the synopsis later and it'll make sense.
Well, I believe it was like the amount because when they find the paper later and they say 40,000 or whatever, when they pick, I guess not all of it had been thrown away. So it was next to the toilet, remember? And that's when they thought, okay, she's definitely been here.
Okay, got it.
But I brought that up because that was at the time that that happened. And the screenwriter was adamant about seeing a toilet on screen to display realism. He wanted to see it flush. Hitchcock told him he had to make it so through his writing if he wanted to see it, because you couldn't show a toilet on screen back in the 60s.
It's so weird.
So Stefano, who's a screenwriter, wrote the scene in which Marion adds up the money, then flushes the paper down the toilet, so the toilet flushing was integral to the scene and therefore irremovable. This was the first American movie
ever. So Alfred Hitchcock wasn't trying to like make it impossible for that to happen. He was just telling him this is the way you get around it.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
This was the first American movie ever to show a toilet flushing on screen.
I don't understand. Like that married couple's not sleeping in the same bed. Like, did they think it wasn't happening at home? Or like... You see a toilet all the time at home and at any other place you go to. Why can't you show it on a TV?
I don't know.
Or a movie screen. I don't understand it.
No idea.
And what's going
to
happen?
You definitely can't show someone flushing the toilet after using the restroom. It had to be, you know, throwing something away.
I mean, fair.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So that's when Marion showers. And that's whenever she is showering, that I realize that she's a little bit not fully there because... She gets in the shower and then turns the water on.
Psychopath move.
That water is freaking cold.
I know.
And she didn't flinch. She did nothing. She just let it be cold.
How long do you let the water run before you get in the shower?
Until it's as warm as I want it.
But do you like stand outside of it?
Oh, yeah.
I turn it on and then I do this.
I'm showing you what I do in an audio medium. I keep putting my hand out to fill the water.
I turn it on and then I like will go get the clothes I'm going to change into or like brush my teeth or like I'll do other things while it's running so that I don't ever have to touch cold water. By the time I get to it, it's warm.
That's weird. So she does this, and it's always bothered me. So that she just turns the water in after being in the shower.
It's dumb.
But also like in a movie, you don't, I mean, I don't know. You can't have her just standing out there, but she could have turned it on. Then threw it away and then got back or something.
We're teaching Adele how to take showers right now. And she didn't know how to turn it off today. But she really didn't want me in the room with her. She wanted to show me that she could take a shower by herself. So she said, okay, I'm done. And she got out and I still heard the water. And I was like, did you leave the water on? She's like, yeah. Like, what did you think was going to happen? And she was like, you were going to turn it off. Like, you turn it off. Like, I can't. What kind of kids are we raising?
She's really enjoying...
She has had to set a timer to get her out because she like didn't want to get out.
Oh no. I know. That's not gonna be good in a few years or whatever.
The novelty will wear off eventually.
Yeah.
Although I take long showers, so she comes by it honest.
So she showers, and that's when she see a shadowy figure in a dress appear and stabs her to death. Soon afterward, Norman cleans up the murder scene, putting Marion's body belongings and the hidden cash in the car and sinks it in a swamp.
Okay, here's my question for you, though. Do you really think that Norman doesn't realize that he's doing it?
100%. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, or I don't know if that's a thing, actually. But
it would go along
in the world of the movie, I think he doesn't know what he's doing.
It would go along with dissociative identity disorder, but controversial. I don't think that's real.
Oh.
I think it's crap.
I have to believe it in the world of the movie. In reality, is that possible? I have no idea. But in the world of the movie, I do believe it.
Listen, who was it that was in the movie that Sally Field was in? Sybil? Sybil. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
You don't know the movie Sybil?
No.
Well, then never mind. I'm not going to say it because he doesn't. There's a really famous book and movie called Sybil about a woman with multiple personalities. And it came out decades later that she and her therapist had like made up the whole thing.
I think I heard that before.
Because that's the one that people are always like, but Sybil's real.
Okay. I did hear about someone making it up, so I've probably kind of heard about that. The blood, in case you're wondering,
looked fake. Sorry, well, that was just my take.
Well, it's not blood. It was Bosco chocolate syrup.
Okay, but
because it showed up better on camera.
Oh, I'm sure. But the way it was, if you got stabbed that many times, there was not nearly enough blood.
And I didn't write down. I think the stabbing noise was stabbing a melon was the noise.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering.
There was not nearly enough blood, especially if there's water in there. Water mixing with blood, that's going to make it look like even more.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like there was enough blood. I was not impressed.
Wow. 1960s cinema should do better.
They probably were only allowed to put so much blood on the screen. That makes me
think. Have you ever watched the remake?
No. Isn't the remake like a shot for shot?
It's a shot for shot remake.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I've heard it's.
I've not seen
it. It's also weird to think of Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates.
He's Norman Bates? Mm-hmm. I can't.
Hache is Marion.
I knew that.
Yeah, I believe Vince Vaughn is Norman Bates.
I have not seen the remake. I have seen the Psych episode of Psycho. Or the Alfred Hitchcock episode, I guess.
Yeah, it's my favorite episode.
Because it's like multiple movies.
Yeah, it's that one. It's North by Northwest, I think.
Yeah, it's because Lasseter runs from the plane.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's few more, I can't remember. The birds is probably there at some point. Marion's sister Lila arrives in Fairvale a week later, tells Sam about the theft, and demands to know her whereabouts. He denies knowing anything about her disappearance. A private investigator named Arbogast approaches them, saying that he has been hired to retrieve the money. Arbogast stops at the Bates Motel and questions Norman, whose nervous behavior and inconsistent answers arouse his suspicion. He examines the guest register and discovers from her handwriting that Marion spent a night in the motel. When he learns that Marion had spoken to Norman's mom, mother, he never calls her his mom, so it sounded weird. Arbogast asks to speak to her, but Norman refuses it. He updates Sam and Lila about his search and promises to meet them within an hour at Sam's home. After he enters the Bates home to search for Norman's mother, the shadowy figure emerges from the bedroom and stabs him to death. Which I remember terrifying me also when I was a kid.
It looks so dumb.
Oh, well, it looks so fake because of so just the way he fell down the stairs.
Yeah, it looks so dumb.
Yeah, it does. But 1960s is fine.
Look, this movie would scare the crap out of our children for sure. It just, I don't know. As someone who is scared of so many things, it just doesn't do it for me.
Well, it scared the crap out of me when I first watched it.
I mean, you were how old? Sixth grade?
11, 12.
You know,
probably with 17, 18 year olds who were making scary comments during it.
You know what movie scared me when I was that age?
What?
Mars Attacks.
Never seen it.
It's a comedy, but it scared me a whole heck of a lot. The aliens kill people. Listen, yeah. I had a thing when I was around that age where like when movies like needlessly killed people, it made me so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like the beginning of the first Austin Powers movie when Dr. Evil just presses the buttons and people's chairs go back into fire and they die. That was like really upsetting to me at whatever age I was when I saw that. I don't like, it's like, haven't I said this when we watch like superhero movies? Just random people die.
You don't like it when random civilians die.
Yeah, because it's dumb. If you're going to give me a
superhero
death, give me a
movies, random civilians have to die.
Not if the superheroes are good.
The villains are good too.
They shouldn't be that good, and the superheroes should be better.
Wow.
People shouldn't die.
Just don't want to be one of those random civilians.
100% I don't want to be one of those random civilians that gets killed.
They got paid for that day, I bet.
The actors, the actual civilians did not get paid. They died.
They did All right, so Sam visits the motel with Lila when they hear nothing from Arbogast, worried something went wrong. He sees a figure in the house who he assumes is Norman's mother. Lila and Sam alert the sheriff, who tells them Norman's mother died in a murder-suicide 10 years earlier. And this is when I feel like I should have, you should, I feel like there were hints throughout to say, hey, Norman's actually doing these murders, even though you think it's his mother. There are, but, you know, sixth grade me did not catch on. I was like, oh, she died in a murder-suicide or whatever. She's still doing it. She's still, because we can hear her voice. I heard her voice.
You might not have been very smart. I mean, suicide means she died.
I know. It could still be wrong.
Okay.
You just said I wasn't smart.
At that age, you may not have been very smart.
I was very smart.
Okay.
The sheriff suggests Arbogast lied to Sam and Lila so he could pursue Marion and the money. Convinced that something happened to Arbogast, Lila and Sam drive to the motel. Sam distracts Norman in the office while Lila sneaks into the house. Suspicious, Norman becomes agitated and knocks Sam unconscious. As he goes to the house, Lila hides in the full cellar where she discovers the mother's mummified body. She screams, and Norman, wearing woman's clothes and a wig, enters the cellar and tries to stab her. Sam appears and subdues him. And I remember the first time I ever saw the mother's mummified body turn around being terrified. That was
absolutely... Who turned it around, though? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Who turned the chair? It wasn't her.
That's a good question.
That's what I want to know.
So what do you think's going on there?
I think that they were hoping that no one would watch the movie that would think about that.
I thought there was somebody else in on that.
No,
that
I
was
think
turning
they thought
the
reveal was better and they didn't really care that there was no answer.
At the police station, a psychiatrist explains that Norman killed his mother and her lover 10 years earlier out of jealousy. Unable to bear the guilt, Norman mummified his mother's corpse and began treating it as if she was still alive. He recreated his mother as an alternative personality, as jealous and possessive toward Norman as he felt about his mother. When Norman is attracted to a woman, mother takes over. He had killed two other missing women before Marion and Arbogast. The psychiatrist concludes that mother has now submerged Norman's personality. He sits in a jail cell and hears his mother saying the murders were all his doing. Marion's car is retrieved from the swamp at the very end. And I also really like that ending, the whole about the fly bit. I like how that was included.
I think that's
a nice way of ending. Like, and Anthony Perkins is talking very creepily.
The voiceover, yeah.
Yeah, the voiceover was.
It was. It was good. I don't think that multiple personalities are real, but whatever.
I know that the psychiatrist or whatever at the end, Hitchcock didn't want that in the film.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was him, or I think it was him. He didn't want that in the film because he thought it was just too long and blah, blah, blah. But I think it was the studio head or whatever said that it had to be in the movie to explain everything. So I don't know if he wanted nothing to be in there, because I feel like you still kind of need the bit about him killing his mother at the beginning.
Right.
But I think the whole psychiatry at the end part he didn't want. So I do have some behind the scenes stuff.
Okay.
When the cast and crew began work on the first day, they had to raise their right hands and promise not to divulge one word of the story. Hitchcock also withheld the ending part of the script from the cast until he needed to shoot it. Hitchcock bought the rights to the novel for only $9,000. He then bought up as many copies of the novel as he could to keep the ending a secret. Walt Disney refused to allow Hitchcock to film at Disneyland in the early 1600s because Hitchcock had made, and I quote, that disgusting movie, Psycho.
So, wait a minute. What did you just say?
Walt Disney refused to allow Hitchcock to film at Disneyland in the early 60s.
You said the early 1600s.
Oh, wow. Early 1960s. Because Hitchcock had made that disgusting movie Psycho. Not the early 1600s.
Disney didn't like it.
No.
Because no one dies at Disney.
That's true. And if they do, they keep it a secret.
Yep.
One of the reasons Hitchcock shot the movie in black and white was he thought it would be too gory in color. But the main reason was that he wanted to make the movie as inexpensively as possible. He also wondered if so many bad, inexpensively made black and white B-movies did so well at the box office, what would happen if a good, inexpensively made black and white movie was made?
Hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's 1960, and movies had been in color since the 40s.
I think it would look bad in color, though, because I think, I don't know, if they hadn't been able to spend a bunch of money to make it look good, it would have looked bad.
Yeah, I agree. Although Janet Leigh was not bothered by the filming of the famous shower scene, which they also used a body double for that, seeing it on film profoundly moved her. She later remarked that it made her realize how vulnerable a woman was in a shower. To the end of her life, she always took baths.
She should see a therapist.
Well, she's dead now.
I know, but, like, it seems strange to me that she, like, publicly said that.
Yeah.
So you'd think someone would be like,
okay. Which I already knew that. I remember hearing that she only took baths because of that.
I mean, it would be very jarring to see
yeah.
yourself being murdered, even yeah. if you know it's a body double. It's still yeah. portrayed as yourself.
The novel upon which the movie was made was inspired by the true story of Ed Gein.
Isn't it Gein?
Gein? I've always said Gein. It probably is Gein. Ed Gein?
I think yeah, it's probably. Gein.
And it's interesting because this movie, the first billed person is Anthony Perkins. He was the first billed for the movie. He doesn't show up until 27 minutes into the film.
Second billed
was actually Vera Miles, not Janet Leigh. The second billed in the movie was Vera Miles, and she does not appear until 57 minutes into the movie. And then a really well-known actress who was probably next was Janet Leigh. She dies 35 minutes into the film. So it's interesting how
yeah.
like nobody is in the movie that long. Anthony Perkins is in the longest, and he still doesn't show up for 27 minutes.
And this will come up later, but I will say, I felt like it could have been shorter. I just felt like it was a little too long.
Yeah.
It's fine. I didn't really need to see all this stuff with her and, like, her lover. Like, did that really add to the story?
Yes. No. Yes. I'm already giving this up. I don't think it added to the story.
It laid
but
the groundwork.
Yes. And also, even though it's still at the beginning, it added some levity to, like, if it was just the rest of it, then I feel like your heart would be pounding the whole movie.
I guess, but there wasn't really that much levity. It was like this clandestine meeting. And
it still was more, it still felt like.
It wasn't like a love story.
Yeah.
It was like.
It's one of the few scenes where there's actually light and it's sunny outside. And I don't know. I felt like it was needed because of that.
Okay.
Who would like this movie in the Gilmore Girls universe?
I mean, Rory seemed to like it because she watched it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know who would like this movie. I every time it's a horror movie, I can't figure it out because I don't know who, like, would prefer to watch a horror movie.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I feel like Rory and Lorelai are always the. Which of the significant others for Rory would like this? Is there? I'm sure they're like all different people. Would one of them like this movie?
What, like Logan, Dean, or
yes, Jeff? Or yeah. Are those the only three? Or what's his face? The naked boy. He's not a significant other, is he?
Marty. The naked
boy. I don't know his name.
Call him the naked guy. Not the naked boy.
I call him what I want to call him.
Anyway, I think of those. Okay, we'll say all four. I think that Jess would probably like it the best.
Think so?
I have no reason for that, though. It's hard with classics because I feel like even if people aren't, like, fans of it, they can appreciate it for being a classic. So I don't feel like there's anyone that would be like, oh, no, I hate that movie. Like, I feel like, I don't know. Jess. I'm going to go with Jess.
Okay. That sounds good. I like that. Out of 10 cups of coffee, what do you give this?
4.
Okay.
I'm just not a fan. I felt like it was too long. It didn't really scare me.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Wow.
I think it's one of the best horror movies ever made.
Really?
I think I am always amazed by how fast I feel like it moves, which is completely opposite from you.
I feel like it's hard for me to appreciate horror movies because I just don't like them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the best. I probably shouldn't give it a 9 because it's probably not even in my top 5 Hitchcock, but I think most of Hitchcock's
stuff
is
9 or 10. That's my thing too, is that I like Hitchcock movies. I don't like the like straight up horror ones though. I like it better when it's more of like a thriller.
Yeah.
And this doesn't feel like a thriller to me. This just feels like jump scares. And,
mm-hmm.
It's just not fun.
But it disappoints me. It's so good.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
It's okay.
Well, that is Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
The next movie is completely different. It is The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Which is on, it's free on Canopy called K-A-N-O-P-Y.
K-A-N-O-P-Y?
Yes, which I've never
like
heard of that
the
streaming
word
service.
Canopy?
Isn't Canada
okay?
C-8? Yeah, that's a
you
K.
You said K. I heard C.
It's like, does this show the
a quarter of the brain cells?
Canopy and Pluto TV it is on.
Okay.
And then you can rent it on Amazon and Apple TV and all of those.
Cool. So,
The Odd Couple. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.